Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
You know, there are a few things as fine as a good doorman, and Sulu is a good doorman. Hey, good evening and welcome one more time to Madame Perry's Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry. And I am thrilled to have you here. And this is going to be, this is a night we've all been looking forward to. But first, let me tell you, ask you if you would, if you're listening live right now on Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to ask you to, you'll see on the website, on screen, a pink rectangle box that says follow. If you would, please click that and follow the show. I'd really appreciate it if you could follow or subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, because that helps me to get sponsors so that I can keep bringing more cool people to you. So we got that going for us. And let's see what else we're going to have. Oh, yeah. Recently, we've had so many cool people. Like, you know, we had Chasm Sultan from Blue Oyster Cult, Todd Rundgren, Utopia, Joan Jett, Celine Dion. We also had Greg Dybeck. He's the managing editor of Elite Daily and the author of The Art of Living Other People's Lives. Everybody loved that show. And people still keep calling, sending back to me messages quoting some of their favorite lines from his book that he and I both read that night. So that was fun. Let's see. We had Matt Coyle, the suspense author, and he gave away books to everybody that called in. So thank you very much, Matt Coyle. I think he sent everybody a copy of Yesterday's Echo, the first book in his Rick Cahill mystery series. Also, we had Mae McCarthy, who is a trainer, speaker, and serial entrepreneur. And she said if we go to her, she teaches the path to wealth through intuition. If you go to her website, maymccarthy.com, if you were listening that night or a follower of Madame Perry Salon, just go to her store. She'll give you the first three chapters of her book free. And coming up soon, we're going to have, let's see, who have I got? Kenneth W. Kane, a horror writer from Crystal Lake Publishing. Everyone from Crystal Lake is a winner. Some of the most excellent writing. Joe Meinhardt is the owner of Crystal Lake Publishing. He does a fantastic job of finding the best writers for us. Who else is coming up? Oh, Kat Canavos. She's a dream therapist. And I met her at Book Expo in New York a few years back. But she was recently on Dr. Oz talking about diagnosing problems with your own body within your dreams. So she's going to tell us all about that. And she will be interpreting dreams on that show as well. How about that? So be sure to check in on that show. You can follow me on Madame Perry Salon on Twitter or on Facebook to know who is coming when. And let's see who else. Oh, Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. Now, they're a band from Liverpool, England. And they are a rack up the charts. They've sort of been taken under the wing of Noel Gallagher. Yeah, that Noel Gallagher from Oasis. He's had them open for his High Flying Birds and put them on the bill with a lot of his people, a lot of shows he's been putting together. So I am so excited. We're also going to have Kate Moore, who wrote The Radium Girls, about women in America back in the 20s, 30s, who worked at a company. They painted radium onto dials of clocks and watches. And they were told to dip it in the radium, dip the brush in the radium, sharpen the point of the brush with their mouth on their tongue, and then paint the dials. And then they all began to have serious health issues. Their bones were disintegrating, and it took forever to get past all the everyone who tried to fool them from getting diagnosed properly, getting medical attention. It's a true story. It's rough. But she's going to be on here next. I think it's April 5th, talking about the Radium Girls. But tonight, is the night. I have been telling you guys about this. If you're a regular listener on the show, you have met this person, this friend of Madam Perry's. And I do know the coolest people, so this is no exception. This gentleman, he's magnificent. People keep asking me, how do I get such cool people? I don't know. I'm just lucky. I'm just blessed. He's a filmmaker. He's a musician. He's a screenwriter. He's been a musical director, band leader, producer. He's an ASCAP producer, CSAC publisher. He does sound design and audio post-pro for film, plays keyboard, piano. CEO of his own firm, VLEV Music and Recorded Media. And he's got a feature film coming out. Hey, he's even worked on a rehearsed with the Saturday Night Live band, getting people ready to do their shows there. This guy's played with Jagger. He's played with everybody. So I'm going to open the beaded curtain and invite my wonderful friend, Vincent Levy Bryant, into Madam Perry Salon. Come on in, Vince.
Hey, how's everybody? And first, I want to thank you, Jennifer, for having me on your show. Thank you so much.
I'm thankful. I'm delighted to have you here. And it looks like, I know that here inside the Genie's bottle, it looks like it's a little bit crowded. But we've got plenty of pillows to go around, people to sit on. But you didn't come alone. You brought some friends with you.
Yeah, I brought Brian Thornton, my lead screenwriter, with me. And he's an Ole Miss. He attends Ole Miss. He's in the writing program, in the journalism program. This young man is so brilliant, and how I met him is even more amazing. I met him through my association with Tracy Morris of 10,000 Hours Music, and this is just, it's amazing. We clicked right away. So, and I knew that he was the person that I could give this story. I wrote this story. Gina Partey fleshed out the characters. She's another great screenwriter. You're going to hear more from her. And he and his partner, Blake King, up at Ole Miss, they both attend Ole Miss. I was consulting on a script that they wrote, and they have targeted Morgan Freeman for. I'm going to let him tell you more about it, but I brought him along. And after I consulted that script, I said, these guys were the perfect guys to do my story, to do my script. So that's where we're at. That was 6-7 months ago.
Tell me his name again.
His name is Ryan Thornton.
Ryan Thornton, come on into Madam Perry's Salon.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing? This is Ryan Thornton.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'm delighted that you're here. And someone else called, but they just dropped their call. I don't say word dropped, but they hung up. But somebody who also has a 678 number had called. And I hope you'll call back. Go ahead and take your name.
That's my buddy Reno. He's sitting next to me. I guess he must have lost a call with you or something. But he's calling back in right now.
Okay. Well, if you want to call in and talk to Ryan Thornton, Vincent Levy Bryant, call the number here at the studio is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. And come on into Madam Perry Salon. Welcome. And give us your name, please. Hello? Mr. 3280?
Hello?
Yes, you.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You sure are live and on the air. You are live, all the way live. Reno?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You're good.
Now. Sorry about that.
Reno is my right-hand man. Reno helps me collaborate with me on some of the scripts that I write. He gives me ideas and calls me and Blake King up all the time. Me and King are writing, and we're always talking on the phone, just like I'm always talking with Vinny. And I met Vinny a year and a half ago, and he approached me with this with the idea of this script of six young kids, young adults who all have dreams and aspirations, and you know they all have goals set for themselves, and they see this rave as a potential landing spot for an opportunity to showcase their talents and themselves to the world. And it's really a nice coming of age story. And it's they're all on social media, and they all end up crossing each other's paths one way or another. And it's really just a brilliant, brilliant idea that Vince brought up to me. And it was just been so much fun working with Vince and my best friend Blake King. We're just getting started.
Yeah, these millennials, they get a chance to meet finally, and they plan to do it all the way. And, you know, it's pretty much the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of this generation. And without giving away plot spoilers, this is, it's going to be one of those, I really plan for it to be like a cult classic. We really do, with the music, the theme, the fact that it's built around a rave, and that whole 9 yards. So that's where we're at.
Ah, well, where can I start? You know, I was planning to start talking to you, Vincent, about your music. Like when? I think I can feel like you've always been a musician.
Yes, music has always been first for me. When I was 11 years old, my dad kind of let me play with the Bell and Howell kind of movie camera, no 8mm, and I just got as crazy as I could with any of that stuff. My dad was, he was the kind of father that was just, if you had an interest in it, both he and my mother, they would go out and get it, and you could just do whatever, from microscopes to recording equipment to pianos and amplifiers and all of that stuff. So when I got the film camera, I just went bonkers with it, me and my brothers having fun. So I've always toyed around with being in film, and music led me into it. After 35 years, music has led me into film, and I'm meeting up with the same type of energetic, very, very sweet and fearless young people that want to do something in this media, digital media, and I just let it go. I just got this group together, and we are in this trip.
Wow. Okay. So, so when you... Vincent, how many instruments do you play?
Uh-oh, here it comes. I play keyboards, bass, drums, percussion. But compared to my brothers, nothing. Compared to my dad could play several instruments before he was even out of high school. I mean, this guy was, he was like Prince was back in those days, you know. I mean, back in those days, he played all the band instruments in the marching band in high school, and he played piano and whatnot, you know. So I kind of got a lot of that cleaned up. So, I mean, I understand the music and instruments behind it. You know, it's kind of intense, you know. I just kind of fed on it. We know the music would be awesome in this film, but more so the people, the professionals I have made associations with the past 5 years in the film industry, they're going to bring such, I can't wait. I'm so excited about this second draft that Ryan Thornton did on the script, and the fact that we're also really interviewing people. I have a few that are in mind, but we're looking forward to letting this take the script into a shooting script for them, embrace it, and put my best music and best and just make it a cult classic, you know, make it a real hit. So, that's pretty much it with the music side of it. I say it's my limits. Music is interesting. I'm a producer. I'm not a director. I'm not a camera person. I love the imagery, and I love the opportunity and the challenge to bring my music to tell the story and help tell the story, you know, like the costume designer, the lighting, the makeup, all of it, the dialogue. Mine's a dialogue specialist. And Gina plus Paris is out awesomely. Blake King, the client, writing. I mean, once I read that they did, the name of their script, by the way, is Rebel Ties. And when you, I just have to plug this script because this is what blew me away and how brilliant they are. They impressed me with their screenwriting like people at the music, you know. So I just know what to go with. With that, I know to recognize something in myself and somebody else, and I go with that, you know.
Okay, so let's take this in. Since I got all you guys here. I've got you, and Ryan, and Reno. Let's go ahead and talk about this, because all three of you guys are involved in this film project. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, Blake and Gina are not here, but yeah, well, there are more professionals involved. Ali Casper Silverman is my right hand and my big sister. She is my costume designer, art director, and my go-to person for who I should be talking to and who I should be actually dealing with as far as being the reality. And it's been, we have another security called Max. We have all the six copies, three things, and four screenplays. So we are going to make that. I just have to give you a shout out. I love you, Ari, and I thank you for your being my big sister and showing me who's what and what's going on with this. I thank you so much.
Thanks, Ari.
All right. Well, so let me tell you, so when you put this project came together, and you know, Vincent, you've been a friend of the show, Madame Perry Salon, for a long time. And so we've been getting little bits and little hints and little teases out of you for a while.
Okay.
But now it seems like everything is getting into this, and you guys are in the swing of it now. So what is the title of the film? When are we just want to give us some scoop.
I don't want to do plot spoilers, but I'll give you this much. It's a modern-day story of college freshmen youth who are like, they all know each other on social media. Social media is where it's at now, okay? Anybody can have more than their 15 minutes. It's more than just that. And these kids know it. And they decide, okay, let's meet for the first time. Where do we meet? At a rave. A rave, the rave scene is one of the hugest social markets that it's all around music. And these kids get together and dance and eat and sing and rap and enjoy music for days on end, okay? And I owe it to my daughters and just how much I've learned about this. It's incredible. It's like when we'd go to clubs, okay? When I was in my 20s, we'd go to clubs and you stayed all night, okay? These kids go for 3 days, okay? These kids go for 3 days. They decide to meet. So they meet and they get to know each other quick. Well, they know each other already on social media. So they get together and there's mayhem. There is the element of what goes with them. But all the things that these youth want to do that they don't want their parents to be doing, they think we did when we said, you know, like I said earlier, it's modern with the sex of the of their health. So that plot too, because each of them has their own background, they have their own aspirations about what they want to do, and they all meet, and the typical things happen, and some atypical things happen, and some surprises. So I don't want to give away the story. Ryan is looking at me right now going, okay, wait a minute, hold up.
Lots of twists and turns.
Yeah, you have six very different individuals, all right, three young ladies, three young men, and let me just tell you, it has. It's going to happen.
Well, what's the matter, Ryan? Ryan, am I trying to get too much out of you guys? Am I not giving you enough? Am I?
No. You're asking great questions. I think that Vince nailing it on the head right now. It's a coming of age film, but there's lots of twists and turns in there. It's hard to explain without giving away all of the details of the plot, but it's one of those films that is really gonna touch people. It's gonna attract people. People are gonna walk away from it remembering it. They're gonna be like, wow. I mean, they're gonna be on the edge of their seats the whole time, and they're gonna remember.
Is it gonna open discussions? You make it sound like it's gonna be
discussions. You nailed it. It's gonna open discussions, and it's gonna be very controversial. There's gonna be people that are going to love it. There are going to be people that are going to be, wow, that was darker than I expected.
Wow, that was
nittier and grittier than I thought it. But at the end of the day, everyone will be talking about this movie. I promise you.
Yeah, for a long time to come. And I must interject here. I gotta say, I am going to have not just the film community of Atlanta as involved as possible. I have the best friends in the world, in the music industry, right here in Atlanta, okay? And I am recruiting. This is a formal, official notice. You are on notice. When I call you and I tell you I'm coming in the studio and let's collaborate on music that's going to show people that know it, real, and let's make it happen.
All right. I like that. And you do know a lot of people, but I think it's because of your spirit, your honesty. You're very sincere, and you give other people credit.
Wow,
And I get the feeling that if you two guys, Ryan and Reno, are hanging, if you guys are working with Vincent and hanging with him, you've got to be of the same ilk. because I think he makes people feel so appreciated.
I remember from the first time I met him, he brought me in like I was like his own son. He brought me in, and me and him completely hit it off right off the bat. I mean, there was no love lost right off the bat. I mean, Vince is an unbelievable guy, and he's believed in me and King when I guess no one else has. So he's been there from the start, and I love him, and he's a great friend.
Oh,
great
man, partner. Thank you, man. You're like another son to me. Hey, and I have to give another shout out to 10,000 Hours Music. Tracy Goles Morris, thank you once again. You can't dream this up. You can try this hard, but when you meet somebody and then it rips that way, you know you can put a product together, and it's just you got to go with it. We can make it happen,
And Ryan, you said he just brought you in and treated you like his son from day one, right?
He helped
you, he nurtured you, he made you cut the grass before you went out that night.
He read my script and he was sincere, and I'm a first time screenwriter. You know, I'm only 21, 22 years old when I meet him, and I don't know what to expect. And he read it and he was honest with me, he was sincere with me, and he said, "Look, you have something that, you know, maybe no one else will tell you, but I will tell you that if you work hard, you can be something, and just stick to it. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it." And it just really really hit me, and it really inspired me. And when me and King talk to him, you know, he gives us the beliefs in ourselves that we can do it. And that's just, at the end of the day, that's all you need. If, you know, especially in something where you're trying to get into a business like this, you need someone that believes in you and really will help you. We'll do anything for you. And that's Vince right there. He will take a bullet for me, and I love the guy. I love the guy, and I know, and I'll do the same for him.
So when you have different people involved in a project like this, I know with musicians writing together, maybe somebody you're used to writing with or composing with, you have some differences. What is it like working together? I mean, how do you divide up the duties and the heavy lifting and the light lifting and what direction you're going in?
Vince, when Vince gave me and King the character breakdown, and he gave us his vision for this, for the plot, and how, you know, everything ties together with the music and the social media, and he wanted us to write it. And I went to my buddy Blake King, who I write these scripts with, who is unfortunately he was not able to be with us. He's working back in Mississippi, but he had a family matter. But I know he'll be listening. But yeah, so when Vinny came to us with this idea and this vision, we kind of ran with it. I said, "Look, King, I mean, Vinny believes in us. We love the idea too. We were like, you know, this is golden with the social media and with the rave and the party and, like, you know, the six different plots." And we just started writing it, and it just kind of all came together. Vince would call us, and we'd all collaborate. We'd all give ideas. We'd all write. We kind of had things that we liked, things we didn't like. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you all have one goal in mind, you get it done. And we got it done, and that's not there yet because obviously it hasn't been made, but we're still chipping away.
Now, is this pretty much then how you would, if I were to ask you to describe the creative process from, you know, concept, idea to product, is that pretty much sum it up?
Yeah, that's perfect. You have Vinny, who's literally the creative. He kind of laid it out. It's kind of like when you build a house. You have people who design it, people who build it, people who do the small details. It's a process, and it all comes together. And at first, it's really general, very broad, but then it gets more specific. It gets more detailed, more plot condensed. The dialogue becomes authentic, and it just goes from there. It just flows from there.
Yeah, if I can jump in here and just tell you, man, Ryan, I want to thank you for how you just fell in line and you started leading the writers after Gene came up with the characters, because my story was an idea, and then I had to flesh it out as a story, and then I gave it to Ryan, and they're in that age group. Gene and I are not. They're in that age group right now where they're understanding and seeing it even bigger than I thought, and that became the social media is a character in and of itself. See, so they saw that element, and you just took it from there, and they're fearless, and that's the only people I want to work with. I can't stand when somebody comes and tells me how many reasons something can't be done. I just know that they're past the prime of their life and they've given up.
Ah, yeah. Okay, so get the idea. I feel like you guys, I love the way you guys come together, the way you work together. I guess it's a concept to planning, putting everything together to the product. Where do each of you get your, what influenced each of you in your approach to music and filmmaking and screenwriting? There's got to be somebody, there's probably several people for each of you that you would say influenced you, where you would think as a kid, oh boy, if I could make somebody feel like that guy made that film, or the woman that wrote this music, if I could make somebody feel like that, or see what I see in that, you know, who would it be for each of you?
Yeah, the first time, I know for me, it was a movie, and it was the first time that I saw Good Will Hunting. I remember when I was 14 years old, and I just remember being, wow, I mean, just everything, the dialogue, the characters, I mean, just the way it was written, I was like, you know, I fell in love. I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to write scripts. I want to touch people's lives, and I want to make something that will be remembered one day. I want to not even just do this, you know, for the money or any of that, just do something that I love and that I know that I would enjoy doing.
Yeah, for me, it was a little somewhat complicated. I was 11 years old. I had nephritis, which is a kidney infection. I missed the entire fifth grade, except my mother and father got me a tutor. And she also enrolled me in the Queens Branch Library Movie Club. And the first movie I saw that I really got attached to was The Red Balloon. I think I've seen it 60 million times. It was the first film, and you know, from then I've been hooked on movies. My mother was a movie fanatic, and my dad used to drop us off, both of them, they'd take turns, they'd drop us off at the movies on the weekend and come and get us in those 2 hours. So the movies were, you know, were far better. And I have to interject, my dad was a television repairman and a musician, and I grew up in the TV repair business. So I have a pretty unique perspective on television and film and books and, you know, scripts and that kind of, you know, but the media thing is in my blood. But, you know, if I get to it, the first movie that really got me was Red Balloon. And I have my other favorites, To Sleep With Anger, Charles Barnett, and It's a Wonderful Life, Frank Capra. And I love any of the action film stuff that Joel Silver executive produced. Lethal Weapon is an awesome series, and now it's on TV. And by the way, I met Joel Silver when he was filming Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger in 87, and that kind of gave me another big boost to want to be in this industry. Joel is an awesome guy. By the way, he's the executive producer of The Matrix, so I got high goals to shoot for.
All right. And Reno, how about you?
Hello?
Yes. I got an answer from Vincent and from Ryan. How about you?
Favorite movie? I don't know. Let me see. Saving Private Ryan.
Awesome.
Probably has to be my
great movie.
Tom Hanks, one of my favorite actors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely that movie.
That's a great
one. I forgot about Forrest Gump. That's another one of my favorite movies. Shot my hometown in Beaufort, South Carolina, too.
Yeah, Forrest
Gump. Yep.
Oh, Lord. So, what is it about somebody, when you meet someone to put together a project with?
Yeah, the talent is great. The attitude is better. The attitude and the, you know, the spirit of can't be defeated. I can't come into this with these notions of it's a challenge and I'm afraid or we can't do this. You know, you got to be brimming with the energy to blast through and make it real. I look for that. The talent first.
Always got to be positive.
You got to be positive, you know. It's hard, especially in this climate right now. I don't even want to give the time to what's going on right now. But in this time right now, we are challenged to overlook every single thing that we think can keep us from being connected. It's a huge challenge.
You've got to keep your eyes on the prize.
You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. Right, Ryan? That's right. And that's what we've done. And don't think we haven't faced it. We've faced it not so much with each other, It's from the people around us. And you have to be careful when you lay your dreams out in front of people, especially people you love, okay? People you love. So you have to keep yourself in perspective of achieving your goal, but at the same time maintaining a somewhat as loving as possible a relationship with the people who you love and love, you know?
Let's go a little bit deeper into that. We talk about sharing or laying out your dreams, your plans with people you love. Can you go a little bit deeper on that for me? Is it?
Wow.
We have a guy.
Here we go.
Well,
let's see if I can do this without tissues.
Hold on. I'll tell you what. While you're getting your answer ready, I'm going to do a promo for our sponsor, and then I'll come back and I'll say why I wanted to ask you this too, okay?
I'll go get some tissues.
Okay, all of that just a second.
All right.
You know, putting together Madame Perry Salon is, you know, we do need some support, and I seem to have the most fantastic guests as well as fantastic sponsors. This week, it is the Fit Successful Dad Podcast. Yes, it's a podcast that was created for and is dedicated to parents who have a passion for entrepreneurship and to help them create the lifestyle that they want by carving their own path. So Gordon Light created Fit Successful Dad, and if you find the website, it's Fit, F-I-T, SuccessfulDad.com. The podcast is live in iTunes, Stitcher, and streamable from the website. However, and the Instagram handle, Fit Successful Dad, which I'll be putting on Madam Perry's Instagram as well. But he wanted to provide an original and unique content in this podcast and interviews with other successful entrepreneurial parents, and they do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've gone to the podcast, and here's the thing. They have great guests. They get good information. They give it to you in a nice podcast package. It's everything that you need with nothing that you don't. If you subscribe to the podcast, Fit Successful Dad, it's just going to keep on giving you more and more information. Now, if you follow me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, you're going to see I'm going to be giving you all the information I can on Fit Successful Dad. So you can always find out from me, Madam Perry. But get on their email list through their website. And it's, like I said, it's a fantastic website. That sold me on them right away. But sign up for the email list on the website, and that will keep you in the loop on upcoming notable guests, tips, and hacks for parents to make extra money on the side. And goodness knows we all need that. And you'll also stay up to date with Fit Successful Dad news. So go to fitsuccessfuldad.com, and I will have the information on all of my social media with Madam Perry Salon. And now, I'm going back to the guys here, my fabulous guys, Vincent, Ryan, Reno, talking about filmmaking. And the reason I said this,
yes,
we have a friend of the show, Reno Soriano. Vincent, I think you might have heard some of the shows for Reno Soriano. He's a holistic health alchemist. And when he did a show about Detox Your Life story, sometimes, you know, your family or people can, you know, they may not understand your dreams. They might see you as somebody that, you, in a way that you don't see yourself. And maybe they're just trying to keep you from getting hurt or being disappointed in life. So they don't always see your goals as fitting you the way that you do. You know, you have to kind of protect your plans and your feelings from them. So that's why I have to go deeper.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell, Jennifer. You know, whenever you're attempting to do something, not even so much different, but yeah, more so different than everyone else, even bigger than what the normal idea is. And you got to understand something. If this was so easy to do, everybody would be doing it. Am I right about that?
No.
Yeah.
You know.
Everyone would be doing this. You know? So when I, it was 2010, my dad was, he was injured, and he's quadriplegic from a car wreck, from a truck wreck, and he told me then, he said, you should have been going to film school, you should have been done that, all of that, you know, and then it hit me, you know, this guy totally still believed in me, never stopped believing, So it's a matter of me being in a position, my children all grown, you know, and I want to give a shout-out to all my kids, Chuck, Jason, Yavina, Sarah, and Ian. I love you guys. You guys have never let me down. They always believed in me one way or another, and that's good. It's like, you have to be careful who you surround yourself with such big dreams, because that's your first challenge right there, to think you have their support. And to find out you really don't have their support, because there are other factors in life. You know, dreamers can't pay bills, okay? But achieving a dream, you can pay your way, you can pay everybody's way. But like I said, this is a bottom line thing of it comes to self, you know? It comes down to self. When you wake up every day, thank your creator for being alive, go after your goal. Support yourself and support your dream. Don't stop around yourself with people who believe, who know, and do the same way. That's it.
Ryan, Reno, anything to add to that?
I think he really just nailed it on the head. And I'm very blessed because I have a father, a stepfather, and a mother who love me and support me every single way possible. So I want to give a shout out to them. A little brother who loves me and supports me. So, like Vince said, it's, you know, when you have dreams and aspirations as big as this, sometimes, you know, people, even the ones closest to you, will look at you and say, you know, come on, maybe you need a reality check. But at the end of the day, you know, like Vince said, you got to do it. You got to be fearless. Something you love makes you happy. At the end of the day,
that's true.
You just have to go for it. You know what I'm saying, Jennifer? You just have to really go for it.
And oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And that's what I tell people. Okay. You don't want to look back. You don't want to look back and wish you had.
That's what my dad told me. My dad said, look, just go for it. Because if you look back and you didn't try, you're going to be more upset that you didn't try than if you had tried. And you know what? He always says, what's the worst I can tell you? No. I get told no all the time.
Yep.
Not the worst thing.
It's not. No is not the worst thing you can hear. Actually, no is a great launching pad. Then if someone tells me no, I'm afraid to hit it off the telling Y-E-S. And yes, I did. You know.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, where we're at now is we're organizing to launch our Kickstarter and focus on the film festivals that we want to be involved in. So that's where we're at right now.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Kickstarter.
Right, the public Kickstarter. It's not launched yet. We're going to do a 90-day campaign based on the start-out donation of $26. $26. We will reward the donation with director's cut DVD, Blu-ray, and a poster of the film for $26. And the math on that breaks down to just under 20,000 people donating $26. And then the rewards go up from there, and the donation fees go up from there. Everything from, I don't know, being in the film, a speaking part, meeting the cast and crew, you know, all the regular things that go with. If you go to Kickstarter and see, don't think that they're very, very smart how to reach their audience. We need to build our audiences, not just with that, but with people like you, Jennifer, who give us the spotlight and the chance to showcase what we're doing. I mean, we want to take this to the world, so we're focusing on these film festivals. Three top country, of course, and four. And by the time we get done, it's by the time we cut the film, and we haven't started shooting it. So right now, like I said, we're focusing on Kickstarter, and we have some very, very, very talented people who are on board of our marketing and promotions, who are going to help spread the word on this Kickstarter to help us gain the donations that we need. So, I mean, it can go anywhere from $26 on up, you know, whoever feels that we're worth it, you know.
Whoever feels generous enough.
Yeah, whoever feels generous enough, you know. You know, that's it.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure you got great incentives, so make sure as soon as that Kickstarter page is up that you give me the information so I can link to it on the show.
You'll be the first.
Yeah.
You'll be the first. We're doing this in order. We start out with you. You're going to be the first. You know, so that's really what happened.
Hey, you know what? There was about a month ago, you might remember this, Vince, I'm not sure, but about a month and a half ago, I had a guest on Madam Perry Salon, and his name was Frank Greenfield, but his, you know, stage name is DeVille. He's done a lot of producing and writing for, and helped make platinum albums for Timbaland, Usher, Beyonce. Right now he's on tour with the Gap Band, the Ron Wilson Gap Band. And he was talking to me about how he takes time every day to go speak to, or not every day, but he was telling me about recently he had gone to have meetings with politicians or the representatives in his area about getting legislation created or amended to help musicians make some money.
Yeah.
And I think you've done that as well, haven't you?
You just hit it on the head. You know, you're amazing. You are amazing. You do your research, but you have something else going for you, Jennifer. You have a sixth sense. You see. You can see the future. You can see it. Yeah, I realize that certain people who have the concern of the community politicians, I've been aligned with them for years and years, and I've never been much of a I've always been a team player type person. So I met an amazing person who I really do believe to have a shot at being mayor of Atlanta. His name is Kwanza Hall. And there's a bill right now that Amy Carter presented, I believe, and it's called HB 155. And that bill is a tax incentive for people that come to Georgia, which is the music capital of the United States as far as I'm concerned. When you have names like Ray Charles and James Brown and Little Richard, you need to stop the ball right there. You need to just stop, okay? Because this is what Georgia is, and it's still that way, you know? Everybody knows what LaFace did when they came here. Curtis Mayfield moved here, and I happen to have spent 2 years with Curtis Mayfield, not just in his band, but I just want to say this bill, HB 155, is going to give tax incentives, and it's going to raise the awareness as well as the opportunity of music being professionally done by the best music makers in the world. That's just it. So the bill went out to the Senate Committee on Finance. I was told last night, I was at a meeting with Kwanza Hall and several other people, and it's now going to reach the Finance Committee. So we want to get behind this bill and make sure that it becomes law and gets pushed through, because the movie industry is getting tax incentives. If the movie industry and the film industry, I mean the film industry and the music industry are getting mixed up. If they have the same incentives, we can revive California and the rest of the world, Hollywood, making these movies. I believe Atlanta is the new Hollywood, and it's not going to happen overnight, but with a bill like this, a great beginning to make sure that we can all make and it's incredible the amount of talent we have and what we've done to support them. You have the amazing hip-hop groups that came out in the early 80s and the late 80s. And just, I mean, it's just incredible. The music, the coverage of music, you know. So, yeah, I'm with the politicians. I'm with everybody that wants to make this a reality for all of us to be able to wake up and do what we dream about doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, you're right. We have tax incentives for the film, which is a great thing because we've got so much more coming in to Atlanta now and other parts of Georgia. So why not the music? I'm very proud of you. So what is Amy Carter's part in this?
Well, she's the one that pushed the bill through. She introduced the bill to the floor. And,
is that Jimmy Carter's daughter?
Yeah, I think so.
Jimmy Carter's daughter.
No, I'm not that out of touch, am I?
I'm not a politician.
Let me tell you something. As long as I know we're working together, I mean, right now politicians don't have the greatest name. I don't know what to even say about it, but you know, I think when it comes to the issues of the people, we have to remember this is for the people, by the people, for the people, and we got to stick to that. I don't care if you're a mechanic or if you sweep floors, you know, it's a matter of us staying connected, you know, and we have to care about each other. We have to care about each other.
Indeed. Amen. Yeah, definitely. And no matter what some people think, you're going to go a lot farther. With the reciprocity, of course, than you would trying to go solo and cut everybody else out of the crop.
Yep. The gaining to share is the biggest thing happening. The sharing is the biggest thing. So, I mean, for me, I mean, this project alone, I mean, basically about 50 professionals will be put to work just behind this project for approximately 10 weeks. And after that, maybe another 20 professionals for about 18 months. So, you know, it goes from there. And we're immediately on to the next script. Like I said, Ryan and King have a brilliant script called Rebel Ties. I have to plug it again because I can't wait to see this with Morgan Freeman. I just can't wait. And that's in the early stages. That script now is beginning to make its rounds. And
Morgan Freeman, if you're listening.
Yeah, if he's listening.
You're listening, Morgan Freeman.
This script, by the way, is about the first. Go ahead, tell it, Ryan.
I'll give you a brief backlash, but it's about the first African American professor at Ole Miss, and he's a law professor, and he made it big in law, and he's coming back to be the first African American professor at the university. Back in 1978, when times were, it was racially turbulent in Mississippi, but it's about him and how he helps out this young Caucasian white kid, basically saves his life. So it's a really good story. I don't want to dive too deep into it, but we want Morgan Freeman to play the character because Morgan Freeman is from Mississippi. He's an Ole Miss fan. Haven't run into him. I know he lives in Oxford, which is crazy that I've never seen him. But I know he's an Ole Miss fan, so I know if you're listening, Morgan, this script is meant for you.
All right, you know what we're going to have to do? You're going to have to give me a hashtag for this film and a hashtag for your production company, and we're going to smack it all over Twitter and Instagram so somebody gets it from Morgan Freeman.
Awesome.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Sorry. The hashtag on our film is hashtag COA, and the other hashtag is going to be Beanie Vision, and I'll send it to you. And this is Beanie Vision's first outing, and I've got my nonprofit Institute of Media Engineers Rodney Jakes. He's one of T.D. Jakes' nephews. He and I started this nonprofit for youth at risk in late 2005, and it's moved on and grown into this thing here. Our nonprofit is involved with this first film, so we're looking forward to putting a lot of people who have never even worked on a film, who have training and never had the chance. Like you said, we've got a ton of professionals.
Have you cast? Now, the film you're working on now, and we're going to be sharing everything about the Kickstarter page, too, because we want to see this happen. And besides, I've been...
Could you say that again?
I said, well, as soon as we get the Kickstarter page up, you know, we're going to be sharing that everywhere, because I believe in the power of social media. I've seen the new things... But do you have this film cast already?
We have a project cast. I have a couple of brilliant people that are casting agents. We haven't lost a person yet. But Shannon Nicole Brunson, if you're listening, we are imploring you to join us as a casting agent because you are just so talented. I'm believing that we need to get together and find these six individuals. Are going to be, I mean, I just see so much out of this. I see a series, I see several things, but they're going to be icon individuals. They're going to be representations of the cross demographics of our college youth. So, I mean, Yeah, the casting agent's incredibly important, you know. So that's the one name I want to shout out. Shannon, Nicole, Brunson, if you're listening, we're calling you.
All right.
Okay. Shout out. Yep. Oh, yeah. I want to shout out to Eric Canada, my dude. Eric Canada, man. And we're looking for some other major people as far as, but right now it's about the Kickstarter. We got our second draft. We pretty much got 30% of the music in. We got our music professionals not all locked into place yet, but something will happen. But we're not.
Yeah, and you got so many people in Atlanta that have worked on the Tyler Perry shows and so forth that live around Atlanta, Decatur, Fayetteville. Some of these people are out of work. They ought to be able to put a little time into your
career. Oh, yeah. I run into them all. So good. We're working this and staging this and shooting this in Atlanta.
And if you happen to need a middle-aged woman to play some part, you know, like a desk clerk or a nurse or something.
Your cat.
Thank you.
Ryan just cast you. I can't go against that.
You have my blessing.
You. All right, folks, you heard it here.
We can talk about that later. There are a couple of parts. You just get it on the head.
I won't be any problem. I did what I'm told. I've got I spent 8 days on one thing in the Hulk Hogan movie where the guy, I think Tiny Lister, comes and grabs my boyfriend. Okay, at that fight scene in the end, Tiny Lister comes out, he comes up on the aisle, and he grabs my boyfriend and throws him up over his head, and I'm there screaming in horror. Oh, my man! What?
What movie is that?
No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred. I'm going to see that.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome. Yeah, you're in.
That was you? Oh, you were great.
You're in.
I love that part.
It's amazing. He did it again. Honey, Lister, I saw the first take out in Atlanta in the premiere. And me and Tommy Lister and Michael sat together in Lennox's first and watched Boys in the Hood together. And he stood up at the end of the movie and said, "Hey, y'all want to see a black Terminator? I'm going to try to do a Terminator movie." It was so incredible. It was incredible. It was awesome.
You know what I did was I had while I was still in my dress, I had this hot pink and black dress. It was the 80s. So it was a real 80s Judy Jetson look dress. And my hair was real short. But I had a picture made with me and Tiny, you know, because they would make pictures with us when we were having lunch breaks and stuff, and Hulk and Tiny. And I said, I wanted to take a picture of me and Tiny. And I said, I want to keep the picture. I had it blown up. I said, this is the picture I want to take when I have to go have my car worked on and say, look, this is my husband. If it's not fixed right and you overcharge me, this is what you're going to have to deal with. Don't think you're mad.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, it's funny. That's a thought. Devo's going to be. We got to give you a dude to Devo in one of these shows. That's funny. We get Devo in one of these shows. But we love this script, and we think it's along the same lines as Ice Cube's Friday. We think it'll be a cult classic. We hope for the right reasons. We hope the right message comes across, and we're really looking forward to what can happen.
Absolutely.
And making it happen. We're not just letting it happen.
The limit.
This is not a crapshoot. This ain't the photography. We are making it happen.
This is going all the way.
So yes,
now,
ma'am. That's
the plan. Then let's go ahead. Let's go ahead as we're claiming this now. And let's just go ahead and go towards. We're claiming that, okay, you guys are all, you know, you've got your team. Got everything in place. You know what you want to achieve. You know your steps to get to that goal. I can tell. Because I've been talking to Vince long enough about it and talking to you, Ryan, and Reno. You guys got it.
Yes, ma'am.
In order. You've got the plan. You've got the book, the Bible for it. You've got it all going. So.
Yes, we do.
Then tell me, because I want to picture this all the way through. Tell me about the premiere.
Tell you about the what?
The premiere.
Well, you're going to do the premiere.
I think that's something we should all come up with together, and it should be in Atlanta. and we should all be part of it.
Make it a hometown hit.
Yeah, make it a hometown hit and make it a hometown thing. And actually, we are casting out of Atlanta's best talent. So just pay attention if you're acting, you know, if you've got music, if you are a music person.
This is your breakthrough film.
And the age group is 18 to 24. Got to play that look. And there are older parts, like you mentioned. There are mothers. There are fathers. There are mentors. There are, you know, the regular adults. Between the club kids, the parents who raised them, and the politicians and the police and the, you know, educators, everybody's pretty much represented in this film. And but it is about these six kids, and it's got to be their world. And we need to take a good look, you know, have that bird's eye view and see what's going on.
And what's the age range of the six kids?
19 to 23.
College.
Because I got to tell you, sometimes it's so easy for people, older generations or my generation, to say, you know, all these millennials, they don't know anything, they're stupid, they're disrespectful. But then when I get to know people, though, when I get to know kids, they're faced with so much more than we ever had to worry about. We never had to worry about anything stupid we said or did all of a sudden being on social media everywhere forever.
At social media age, it's really crazy. I mean, everything you say is documented, basically.
We never had to worry about everything becomes a meme before you know it. Yeah, people would remember it, but it wasn't like everybody could flip on their computer and see something. They've got a lot of things to think about and sort out, and probably some fears about their own world and where the world is going, and politics and their country and their own families.
Absolutely.
They got whacked out parents and stuff who never put down the crack pipe.
Absolutely. That plays perfectly. Social media plays perfectly into this film because, I mean, everyone's informed. They all know what they want to do. They all have plans. They all know what they're doing on social media. They are informed on social media. And it's also a big factor is be careful what you wish for and be careful what you do on social media. Like, you just nailed it, because you don't know who's watching and you don't know what's documented. You don't know what could come back to bite you. You never know.
Yeah, it's like an inflation of real life, even though it's – oh, I hate to use this term, but it is an alternate life. It's an alternate lifestyle. Oh, my God. Social media is an alternate lifestyle. There you go.
What's that song where he's like, online, I'm 6'3", and online, I'm 6'3".
I work out every day, and I'm like 115 pounds caught, you know. No, it's not.
Oh, I'm so much cooler online.
Always cooler on that.
Always much cooler on
my.
Yeah, that's it.
My avatar doesn't have time for you today, okay?
Right, my avatar doesn't
like you.
My
avatar is way too heavy.
All right, I'm going to drop the six students, the six in the ensemble. Three girls. Yeah, let me just go ahead and drop the bomb. Okay. Three guys, three girls. One is a Mexican-American. His parents get deported. He is a top DJ. That's his problem. The Asian girl, she's fresh. She's really smart. She's a genius. And it's not really stereotypical. She's awesome on computers and everything else. A young African-American male, he is aspiring to be mass media. Celebrity, a rapper, a star. You've got the character. Yeah, Thomas is. He is a young. He's a young white male privilege.
His dad is the mayor of
Atlanta. Yeah, there we go. His dad's like, no, I thought he was a judge. It doesn't matter. He's like spoiled, and he reaches out. He's like speaking out. And then there is
Amber.
Model. She's a young, very talented model. She has some personal issues. And then there's last but not least, Keita. She is a young African American man who is very strong. And
she wants to be a model as well.
She wants to be a model, but doesn't know how. But she has her game together in other areas. You'll have to see this film. You'll have to really get behind it and see this film because it's going to be explosive. Then there's the club owner who is a young first-generation Russian kid who's like, he enjoys his club and the girls that go there and the drugs that he does. And then there's Pops is the club. He oversees everything. And he's like the Pops of the club. We make sure that they don't get into trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to play Pops
at this point. Right now, I'm trying to get out of it, but they won't let me because I've already been doing this. So anyway,
we wrote that character for him.
Yeah, well, we're going to leave it alone. But between between the city, the DEA, the drug dealers, the stars that come from the club, kids in their ass, fishing and drinking, and
Vic Magnolia meets Less Than Zero.
There you go. That's hot. I like that. I love that.
Magnolia meets Less Than Zero.
Less Than Zero. That was such a great, yeah. Less Than Zero, Purple Rain, Hangover, put those together, and you still took such an incredible film.
You know, I got to say, so you just reminded me of something. I got three things to say before we go because our time is up. But first of all, I'm going to say that I would like, guys, for you to meet back here in maybe between six and eight weeks. Would that be enough time for you to be able to come back and give us a good progress report?
We'll be today. Good.
So I'm
we'll be on
anytime
you let us come on, Jenna.
That would be wonderful.
Because I want to follow this up. We want the audience following you, and we're going to all be keeping up with you and what's going on. So we can. I want you back here to talk to us then.
Kickstarter should be launched by then.
Yeah, okay, then we'll make sure we'll have you on when the Kickstarter launches so we can start bringing in that Do-Re-Mi for the
MIDI.
I was thinking about, do you guys, when you mentioned club owner, do you guys, and I know Ryan and Reno, Vince, you know, but Ryan and Reno, you guys sound young. Do you know who Jack Ruby is? Does that name ring a bell to you?
That sounds very familiar.
Okay.
Not off the top of my head, though. Who is that?
JFK assassination. Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested.
I didn't even answer that.
I was going to say,
Jack Ruby was a club owner when the police were transporting him. He drives to the police station, gets out, and kills Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay.
So he just gets out and kills him. That's Jack Ruby. So anyway, I use that because Bill Maher, you know, the comedian and TV show host.
Bill, yeah.
Back in the 80s when he was just doing stand-up, he had a book called True Story. And it's like a story. It's a fiction, but it was based on the lives of him and his friends as they were doing stand-up around the country and touring. And because at the time, I had started my band at the time, my jazz band, and we all would tour and play. And he has a line in there that I said, you know, really fit music. And Vince, you know this fits the music theme. He said, you know, people that go to a job every day and work or anything, you don't understand the difference between working your day job and working a club. Because the club, you work for the club owner. And the club owner is like, well, let's just say Jack Ruby was a club owner, and I think all the rest of them see him as a role model.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And so, so that's when you said club owners. Yeah, they all see Jack Ruby as a role model, you know, sell naturally dealing, shoot somebody.
Well, this kid, Zeus, the club owner in our film, he's quite a character, and I don't want to flesh it out all the way. Like I said, I don't want to do the plot spoiling. I can't do it. I really want to, but I'm not. I want people to see this and get into it and, you know, watch it again and again and again, and because it's going to be so much.
Let's just say the audience will remember Zeus.
When you come back, he's going to have his own lunch boxes and everything, right? People are going to want the merch. The T-shirts, the hats, the sleeping bags, whatever. He's going to have his whole merch line. Before we go, and remember too, thanks to our sponsor for tonight, FitSuccessfulDad.com. FitSuccessfulDad.com. Go on their line, get on their email list, and listen to their podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and the streams also from their website. And we want to thank them for bringing the show to you tonight. Guys, you're going to come back in probably about 6 weeks, give us a report, and start off the Kickstarter for us.
Thank you.
I love it, and I love having you here tonight. And let's see, next week, folks, we got Kenneth Kane, we got Kat Canova. She's going to interpret your dreams here, Adrian Ballou, the Trying Bar King, is coming soon. And it's been an absolute joy to be with you here. I love you. Well, we were the napkin. Swinging everything you did. You jump and jive and bop and sing, saying everybody's got to swing. The mom and pop were right on time. They helped up all your nursery rhymes. When you started off your dream of a jive, I did a bug sing.